But it is great to see everybody here tonight. We welcome all our webcam viewers, and they'll be listening in from various parts of the globe, and that's the truth. That's not an exaggeration. And I trust that you're enjoying the better flowing or the better live streaming. And pretty soon we'll be purchasing a camera that's equivalent to television production. So you'll pretty soon be having, fairly soon I should say, pretty soon, that's not very good English. That's an Aussie thing, but fairly soon we'll be having cameras, and you'll be able to see what's going on more down the front, and we'll probably try and stream it all also through the big screen here, so you guys can see what's happening at the front, because those who are ministering, we get the full-on view. I'm fascinated with how the Holy Ghost touches people, how sadness can turn to joy, and how people's weariness or worried about being prayed for from the front, suddenly the Holy Ghost takes over them. You can see him starting to do a deep work in people. And it's absolutely amazing. How many people do you think have been touched in this revival by being under the power of God? That's wonderful. And so it's just about everybody who's been under the power of God. For those who haven't been under the power of God, you will be tonight. If you want to, I can't force it. What's the advantage of being under the power of God? Because why fall down? Well, you can't stand up. It's simple. Or if you're in a chair, you just fall in your chair onto the floor. Or what's the purpose of that? Because God touches you. God says he has enough power to fill every knack and cranny of the whole universe. If that's true, which the Bible says it is, well, you imagine just a little smidgen of that power touching us. If you think you can stand up under God's power, there's something very, very wrong with your theology. I don't know anybody who can get a strong anointing on them and doesn't hit the deck. And I've seen the best try. And the only people who succeed are the prideful ones and the ones who just resist. When God's power's flowing, you cannot stand. I don't care what you say. And Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you can work out from Jewish history, there's about 500 came to get him that night with chief scribes and elders, the Roman cohort, which is the Roman battalion, which half of them were on duty every night. So there's 600 of them. So that's 300 came with swords, clubs, and lanterns. Obviously, it was nighttime. And before Judas betrayed him with a kiss, they said, "Where is Jesus?" And he said, "I am he." John 18, you read it, the first few verses. And it says the whole multitude, when he said that, withdrew and fell backwards. What does that mean? They fell to the ground under the power of God. Then just a few minutes later, Judas betrayed him with a kiss. And you think, well, you know, he was tortured and mocked and his beard plucked out. And then eventually on 39 lashes with a Roman whip, which was a cat of nine tails with chunks of metal in it, which every time they whipped him would have ripped out chunks all over his back and body. And they thought that he'd lost all his power. He had enough power, friends, to bring himself down from the cross if he wanted to. When they were saying, "Prophesy, who hit you?" and they were mocking him, he could have named every one of them and told them what they did 5 minutes ago and told them why they committed adultery a year ago if he wanted to. But he willingly gave his life for you and I, friends, willingly. He willingly subjected and kept that power in him because he knew his Father's will was the only way he could bring man back to God was to die upon a cross and suffer all that agony. That's why the Bible says, for him who knew no sin, he became sin on our behalf. And he's the bridge back to God. Buddha can't do it. No other religion can do it. You can find Joseph Smith's grave in Mormonism. You can find whoever invented Roman Catholicism. You can find their graves. And I don't knock those religions. I just say you can find Buddhism, Islam, whatever you like. You can find the graves of the men who started those deceptive movements. But I'll tell you something. You can't find Jesus' grave because he rose from the dead. And there's not many ways to one God. You can't find God in any other way but through Jesus Christ. Because he says in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Not there are many ways, I am the way. There's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ, his Son. And so that's it. I don't care what man has taught you, what your religion teaches you. If it doesn't teach that, it's wrong. Simple as that. You might say, "Geez, you're an arrogant pig." No, I absolutely believe in the infallibility of this word. I believe it. And I've had agnostics try to refute me. I've had cult leaders. I've had heads of witchcraft come into my meetings over the years. I've had atheists come into my meetings. And I say, "Well, if you don't believe what I'm saying, just come to the front." You lay hands on me and I'll lay hands on you. And the one who hits the floor the first, obviously, they're the God with the power. And usually when they're walking down the front, the power of God's so strong, usually, most of the time, they just fall onto people in the aisle. Bang, crash. Then, of course, they get up and run out, most of them. Because they say, hey, don't mess around with the power of God, you know, because it's not my power, friends. I'm no psychic. I'm no faith healer. I've got a lot of faith in God. And I believe what the Bible says. And we keep pressing into, we get all the benefits. So that's pretty exciting, isn't it, Chris? That's better than nothing. That's fantastic. We're just going to receive a love offering tonight for our ministry. Normally Vaughan does that. He's been doing it every day for about the last 100 years, every meeting. But we'll give him a break tonight. And so, as we know, the Friday and the Sunday night offerings, not tomorrow night, not Sunday, that's for the tithes and offerings of this church. Please do not put any tithes or money you've got designated for your own church. That goes in the tithes and offerings. Don't put that in my ministry. This is offering. A love offering where to support. We're not on wages, just whatever comes in we live on. I'm not racing around too much, preaching in other churches. I did last week for the first time in quite a while. But the reality is that I'm not on the road. We're here for this revival, and we're going to see it right through. And we're here, and we just thank you for the faithfulness of what you guys do. But just a scripture here in Matthew 14. It's when Jesus, he takes the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They were all ate and satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketful of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who had ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. We know this story well, or most of us would. This is when Jesus was preaching to the 5,000 men plus their wives and children, where it was anything from 8,000 to 10,000 people. And he'd been preaching and teaching them all afternoon, and going, it's getting towards nighttime. And he says, these people are too weak. We can't send them miles away to get some food in the towns. And so Jesus said to his disciples, well, you get them something to eat. And one of them said, well, you know, what does that mean? Have we got to go to Judas? He's the treasurer. Have we got enough money to feed all these people? Men, the husbands, plus women, and their wives and children. Goodness me, there's a lot of people here. And he says, you go find it. And so they found this little boy who had a couple of fish just a couple of loaves of bread, I think it was. And anyhow, you know, he says, right. He looked up to heaven. He gave thanks. And you can imagine all these people. He got the disciples to put them in groups of 50 because Jesus was pretty organized and disciplined. You imagine how long it took them. It must have been a couple of hours just to get the group to scatter and to join roughly groups of 50 all over the valley there. You imagine that, 8,000 people. That's a lot of people. And there is Jesus looking up to heaven and blessing these small loaves and a few small loaves and fish to God and giving thanks for them. Then he gave it into his disciples' hands, 12 of them, and says, right, give it to the people. Now, I want to ask you something. When did the miracle happen? Because not only did he feed the people, much to the amazement of the disciples, as they kept digging in and taking out the bread and the fish, it just kept multiplying and giving to the point where everybody was full. How long it took to feed 8,000 people, 8,000 to 10,000 people, I don't know. It must have been hours. And then disciples went round after and picked up 12 basketful of fish and bread that people didn't eat. Now that's an incredible miracle. Just from a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread. Now, I want to ask you something. At what point did it become a miracle? At what point did that miracle happen where the bread and the fish multiplied itself to feed all that lot? Did it happen as Jesus blessed it and suddenly thousands of pieces of bread and fish came? Or did the disciples, as he broke a bit of the loaf and gave a little portion to each disciple and a little bit of fish and put it in the baskets, the miracle happened as they dug into the basket and brought out the bread and brought out the fish. And the more they did it, I reckon the anointing on those disciples must have been phenomenal. Because this would have been going on for hours, friends. The fish and the bread just multiplying itself. The Bible does not say they looked at the thing and spoke in tongues and, man, suddenly more. No, as they gave it out, it multiplied. When does God multiply your seed? It's true. When does he do the miracle in your life? As you give it out. But what we say, we want guarantees. Well, if I give it, Lord, give me an indication before I give my offering tonight that I'm going to get something back. God says, no, 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 I'll give you back 30, 60, 100-fold, depending on your faith. But, you know, you've just got to be a person who says, all right, I'm going to give, and I'm expecting you. Now, look, if you give in faith but don't expect to receive, don't you be angry at God when years go by and nothing's come into your lap. I hear people say to me all the time, well, I've been given for years and I haven't seen it come back. I guarantee you, I can tell you to your face, if you told me that, that it's because you gave with faith, but you didn't have faith that it was going to come back. You just hoped it would. You presumed God would do it. You don't presume or hope nothing with God. You give by faith, you receive by faith. It's as simple as that. And I don't care if it takes 3 months, 3 years, it will come back. If it takes 30 years, it will come back. Not because I say so, His Word says so. And so as you give tonight, whatever you feel, if you can't give anything, keep your money. If you can't give with faith, and you think I'm trying to rip you off, keep your darn money. I don't want it, you know. We say, yeah, they're always preaching about money in that church. Well, of course we are, because we need it. We want it. People are so stupid. What am I preaching about money so boldly for? Because I want it out of you, that's why. But am I going to manipulate you to get it out of you? No. And if you think I am, keep your money. You want to read your Bible. This morning, we started to break a spirit of poverty mindset over people in this city and over people in this church. What's a poverty mindset? That as I begin to speak, or Vaughn, Pastor Vaughn begins to speak about money, you start to react. That's a poverty stronghold on your life. I don't care if you're a multimillionaire. It's a stronghold of poverty on your life. That's how you know when you got it. I had it for years and didn't even know. And I gave my tithes and all that sort of stuff. I could never work out why I was always in debt all the time. God, I felt like I was just treading with my head above water. And just when the bills were at the end of the month, I thought, I'm going to sink. And man, somebody just give me a check. Oh, I just got my need met. God just doesn't want to meet your needs. He wants to fill your basket to overflowing. Why? So you can give out to others. That's why. If you don't believe me, read the Word of God. One third of the gospel and the book of Acts and the New Testament is preaching on giving. Amen. Jesus' ministry consisted of one, teaching, preaching, two, healing, third, preaching on finances. If you do a study just of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see it in exactly three thirds. One third preaching and teaching, one third healing, and one third preaching on finances. Why? Because you can't have one without the other. Amen. You just can't do it, friends. So if you're a person that reacts every time an offering's given, and if you're a person, I don't know if you do, but if you do, you know, just look at me and smile so you don't think I'm preaching at you. But if the cap fits, wear the jolly thing and say, God, I repent. Because some of you need to. You've got a poverty spirit a mile high. You're stingers. You'll go off and get your own things and you do this and do that. But when it comes to giving an offering, I don't know. Come off the grass, folks. We've got to be generous in what we do. We're not talking about tithes. That's for this local church Saturday, Sunday morning offering. This offering, if you put your tithes in here, I'll rip your arms off. For those who are here Tuesday night. For Auntie Jack, yeah. We won't do that tonight, but it's quite funny Tuesday. Auntie Jack show is a typical Australian show. It's a man dressed in a dress with a boxing glove on who talks in a very deep voice. And to you Americans, that's absolutely crazy and silly. But to me, that's Aussie humour to max. British understand it, Aussies don't. But you Americans don't seem to get it. But that's okay. I got my green card now, so I got a chance to be like you, unfortunately. And fortunately, you're great people. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're not bad. You're doing good. You could do with a bit of Aussie on you and a bit of pommy on you, a bit of English. But apart from that, you're doing okay. I'm telling you, folks, give with faith tonight. And seriously, I really mean this. If you think I'm manipulating you, don't give me a cent. I mean that with all my heart. Please don't. If you believe in what we're doing here, and if you think my wife and myself are sowing good seed here, and if you think that, you know, we're imparting into your lives, and we're doing good in this place, well, give. If you don't think that, don't tell me, because I'll get offended and won't talk to you and cry. Not really. But you just don't. Don't tell me. Just give if you want to. If you don't, nobody's going to see. If you think, oh, I would have loved to give tonight, do what I've done at times. I've had nothing to give, so I pretend to put something in the basket. I say, God, I'll make it up to you later. I just go like that. Nobody else knows. I say, that's deceptive. No, it isn't. As soon as I get money, I go and do just that. You learn all the tricks of the trade when you've been in God for a lot of years. But you've got a pastor here who's lived it. I love doing my offerings because it comes with a heart of faith. And I've been pretty good at taking my own offerings, but I love it when he does it because, I don't know, he just gets more out of you. And that sounds bad. That's very bad to put it that way. And if you're on webcam, too bad. I meant it, but not quite like that. You're good people. There's a good spirit of giving in. And I tell you every week because I mean it. We thank you for what you give us. And it's quite a miracle what comes in comparison to what I would normally earn out there. That doesn't matter. That's gone. I'm not out there. I'm here. And what you provide for us with no wages, just offerings, is very, very good. And you want to thank God. And I know God's going to abundantly bless all you back. And what do you do with all the money? It's none of your business, really. But all I can tell you this much is, it's like me asking you, how much do you earn? What do you do with your money? Don't take it just yet, guys. Now there's an anointing to give. I wouldn't ask you how much your wages. If I said, how much do you earn and where does it go? You'd probably tell me to mind my business. So why do you think that you have to know a pastor's business or an evangelist's business? You don't. Who am I accountable to? I'm accountable to Vaughn and Leon and a few others that if they could ask me any time about my finances, I'd tell them because I trust them and they'd be asking with a pure motive. But for the rest of you, all I can tell you is that I have integrity and we have integrity. We're good stewards of what comes in. And by the way, it's not going into my personal life. It goes into Steve Smith Ministries, which has been set up properly as a proper company now, which paperwork should be done in this next couple of weeks. But for now, just write a check. If you're writing check out to King's Fire International, and they'll know that it's designated for me, and they'll give me that next week. So God's good. Father, we thank you for these wonderful people. And I thank you that you're going to greatly supply. And I especially pray for my brothers and sisters here, God, who have been battling, who have been struggling. But Lord Jesus, I know I've been there myself, battled and struggled. And I know if you just remain faithful, you just remain faithful. My God, it's not so much how much we put in, it's what faith level we put in from our heart. See, if somebody put in 100 tonight, Lord, but they had a 10,000 in the bank, well, that's nothing. That's easy. But someone else could put in $5 tonight and that's all they've got. You look at that more, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, whatever we give tonight, mix it with faith. And friends, I'm telling you, believe that you'll receive back 30, 60, 100-fold. You've got to believe it. Oh, no, brother, I don't believe that. Well, that's why you're still in debt. Father, we thank you for these wonderful people. Everybody said, amen. Thank you. You can take up that offering. Thank you so much. Pour out your spirit. Oh, my goodness. The power of God's here tonight. It's been here for the last hour and a half. So just relax. You've got nothing else to do. We usually close or tell people you can go around about 9:30. You'd only go home and watch TV, so you might as well just stay here. And you've come this far. You've come here to be blessed by God. Why don't you just put your faith right out there and say, tonight's my night to get healed. Tonight's my night to get refreshed in the Holy Ghost. Tonight's my night to hear from God. You've come this far. And so exercise and stir up your gift of faith. Don't wait for the magic touch from me because that won't come. Wait for the touch from God by moving into those realms yourself by faith. And if he happens to use me to help you along, well, that's good. But you can get there. You can receive right where you are right now. It's good to see you. We've been having incredible prayer meetings. Who's been enjoying those prayer meetings? On average, we're averaging 20 people between 7 and 8. Between 6 and 7, there's probably about 8 to 10 that are here just waiting on God. And then we turn a switch on at 7 o'clock and about double that comes in. And it's just tongues and prayer for an hour. And it's fairly intense as we just getting in there. Steve, come out and testify what God's done for you this week. I think that's just exciting. Loses a job and then God gives him creative ideas and he's up and running. But come and tell us to be encouraged.
All right. Tuesday I got laid off, but I've been praying that... I've been praying that God will show me and all of us that are in business creative ways to create business here, have things happen. And So I contacted some people I knew that had some equipment for sale, some contractors, and I knew some other people that needed some equipment, and I just sold it to them without any of my money. I just arranged the whole thing, you know, and it just pulled it off, and God blessed me with probably about a month's pay out of that.
Keep stepping out, man. It'll keep happening to you. Will, it's amazing what God can do. And it's interesting, a little birdie told me that you committed yourself, boots and all, to this revival a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks ago. I mean, you've always been faithful to it, but you really, for some reason, God stirred you up, and you said, we're in this boots and all. And it's interesting that as soon as you made that firm commitment, within weeks, I mean, to earn, you know, in few hours' work, a month's pay, what you'd normally get as a month's pay with what you're doing, that's amazing. Just get it in a day. That's what God does. And a lot of times, God is just looking for our commitment level to Him. He really is. A lot of times we don't get from God because we're too much in negativity or we're too much in criticism. Why do you think the Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine? If people have left this revival in church because they don't like it, well, keep friends with them. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't apply to me because I didn't know anybody. You know, I just know you people in the revival. But some of you, you know, keep your friendships up, but don't gossip with what they gossip with, for God's sake. Just tell them to pull their head in and get on with life. If they don't like this, find another flow, and, you know. But don't let them pull you into their ways, because then it sticks over you like a mile. I can tell people with a critical spirit, especially when the anointing's on me, it just sticks out at you, and I try not to look at you, because I can see it. You can sit there and smile and dance and clap all you like, but it just oozes out of you. You know, God doesn't want that. He wants God to ooze out of you. Some of you wonder why you can't get into God and hear His voice. It's your stinking attitude. That's why. Anyhow, let's get on with this. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I feel this word of knowledge, gift, the prophetic, and Sal's brother. Could you come out here, please? This is not a word of knowledge. I want to pray for you, bro. This guy's got cancer, and we're going to believe God. Like I say, it's not a word of knowledge. I know his situation. Sal, come with him so he doesn't feel... Sal's downstairs counting the offering. Can someone get Sal? Just tell him I'm praying for his brother. We're going to believe God's going to heal you, man. I see God all over the world heal people of cancer with specialist reports. So just relax. Are you used to meetings like this? Oh, you're not. Poor guy. No wonder he looks a bit nervous. Why don't you come and stand with him, his sister-in-law, poor guy. Don't worry about all them. Just stand and face me so you don't have to worry about all them. Motley, they're ugly looking bunch, aren't they? No. I'm going to lay my hands upon you and the power of God is going to come right on you. Now, you might feel a bit wobbly in your feet. If you're anything like your brother, he spends more time on the carpet than he does standing. Now, I'm not going to push you down. I'm not going to do anything like that. But when the moment I lay hands on you, you're going to feel this power and energy going through you. And I'm saying, when it happens, don't fight. We've got people standing behind you in case it happens. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm just telling you. Yeah, come and stand with your brother, man. He's a bit nervous. I would be an Aussie preacher. Because he hits him in the head. You can see who's the good-looking one in the family is. Definitely not. Yeah. We're going to believe God. That's a horrible thing. What, you got cancer in your bones, is that it? Lymphoma. Stretch your hands towards us, dear man. What's your name, sir? Joe. We're going to believe that thing's going to be driven out. Thank you so much for coming tonight. And listen, if you can make it to the meetings, keep coming. Sometimes I'm not just lying, I'm telling the truth. I've seen people, they've been touched by God, they've come along to the revival meetings and they're just soaked. Usually people with cancers, when they come, as soon as I see them, I call them out the front right at the beginning of worship. They usually spend the whole service under the power of God. And they just can't, they don't want to get up. They're in this peace. And, you know, 3 weeks of that, they're totally healed. And I tell them, do you feel better? Yeah. Go back to your doctors now and get checked. And we're going to believe it's going to happen instantly. And I believe God's going to start something tonight. Yeah. But if you know in your own self it's not completely there, listen, I'm not telling you what to do, but if you can, come back. Come back to these meetings. And I'm telling you, you're going to get your healing. You're not going to leave this life, you know, cut short. You're not going to leave your family. God wants you to live, not die, man. And it's only a thing called cancer standing in the way. That's all it is. That's all it is to God. He can just take that out of you. And I want you to put your faith in Him, not me. Because I can't heal you, but He can. And we're going to give it our best shot for you, man. We really are. Okay, and I've been at this game for 28 years, so I know what I'm doing. But I want you to know, clearly I'm not the healer. Jesus Christ is. And you know, sometimes I don't know if you've ever given your life to Jesus Christ. I don't know that. I know if you're a Catholic, then you believe in God, but believing in God's not enough. You have to have Jesus walk into your life. Have you ever done that? No. Well, you know, I'll give you an opportunity before this meeting ends. You just might. I don't want to force it on you now. But you just might want to give your life to Jesus. You see, Catholics are the easiest to come to God because you believe in his healing power. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe all that. But a belief's not enough. That's partway. You've then got to receive him into your life because he wants to come into your spirit. And the Bible says he causes you to be born again. It's like he makes you a new creation. He completely forgives you of anything you've done wrong, and he guarantees you of heaven. You see, people who believe in God don't have a guarantee in here. Oh, I hope I go to heaven. I don't really know. But when you've got Jesus on the inside of you, you know that if you left this life, bang, you're straight in his presence. Not going anywhere else, just straight to him. Okay, anyhow, you come here for healing. Just close your eyes. Father, we thank you that you're the God who heals. And I want you to show Joe, Lord Jesus Christ, what a real God you are. That the God who his brother serves and his sister-in-law and maybe other family or friends he knows serve this God, that he's real. Now, I know that he believes in the same God as us, Lord, but I'm asking you to heal him. I'm asking you to do the greatest miracle of all and let him see the need for a Savior. Let him see the need to come to Christ. But, Lord, I'm asking you that he will see Jesus the healer. Or as you say in the Old Testament, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And Father, I just thank you that you're going to come to him right now. And I take authority over this cancer. And if it was a spirit that gave him that cancer, then in Jesus' name, I bind that spirit and I command you to leave him in Jesus' name. But if it was just through natural circumstances, well, that's okay too, because you're the Lord of the natural circumstances. And I'm going to lay my hands upon this dear man, and we're going to believe together that cancer will be driven out of his body. That lymphoma will go. I curse you, not you, the cancer. I curse that cancer in Jesus' mighty name. And just like you walked past that fig tree, God, that wasn't bearing good fruit, you cursed it. And the disciples were amazed when they came back on that same road a few hours later. That fig tree was withered up and dead, and that's impossible for it to wither up so quickly. Well, I command that this tree within him that is bearing no fruit of riddling this man's bones with cancer, I command you to get out of his body now, and I command you to wither up and die. I curse you, cancer, and I command it to leave this man's body in Jesus' mighty name. Leave him and loose him, Lord, right now for the glory of God. Let the power of Almighty God just go through his life right now and heal him for the glory of God. Just heal him right now. Man, you can feel that. Don't resist it. I got my hand on your back so you don't get that pushing forward back sensation. But just take it right in. My God, in Jesus' name, heal him. Heal him. I know you're probably worried about falling down because you got it in your back. Don't worry about that. God's got, he's more than enough to fix you up in Jesus' mighty name. He's more than enough to help you. Come on, friends, pray for this man. Cancer, leave his body now. Cancer, go. Go. Go! I command you to leave him in Jesus' mighty name. I'm only shouting loud because I'm passionate. I believe in what I'm preaching. I believe in praying for you. Father, touch his body right now. Touch him. Loose his body right now in Jesus' mighty name. Let the power of Almighty God go through him. Loose his back. Come out of his back. Come out of him in Jesus' mighty name. Cancer, loose him. Loose him. Just keep praying for him. The power of God's going through him now. Get out of his spine. Get out of his shoulders. Get out of his back. Get out of his bones in Jesus' name. I command you in Jesus' name. Come out of here, Brian. Come and help me. Brian's a young man who sees people heal all the time. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Makanamanda. Lay hands on him, Brian. Masuka pafristikanamende. Let this cancer go. Let it go. Keep laying hands on him, man. Keep praying, friends. We've got to believe God can heal this man. He's a man who's never been in a meeting like this before. He hasn't got Jesus in his heart. We get used to all this, but that's pretty dramatic for him. My God, in Jesus' name, heal him. We will not put up with this cancer in Jesus' name. We will not. In Jesus' name. If anybody who loves Jesus with all their heart, they're just feeling to lay hands on this man while he's on the floor. I didn't say prophesy over him or cast a demon out of him. Just come and pray. If you're feeling that anointing in your hands, just pray for him. I don't want any funny stuff being prayed over him. Just pray over him. Seriously, if you're out there and you feel that anointing in your hands, whether you're a man or a woman, doesn't make any difference. Just come and lay your hands upon him. We're not going to see this man not healed. Jesus' awesome name. We pour out your compassion, your healing, Lord Jesus. Your glory, let it come, let it come, let it come. Your glory, in Jesus' name. What's that, man? Yeah. Hey, listen, there's a real strong healing presence here. If people have come tonight, you've got diseases in your body. It might not just be cancer, but you've got diseases in your body. You've got problems with your blood. You've got problems with your... Just come. Whether it's arthritis or whether it's stomach problems, whatever it is, there is a healing presence here. I got this word on my heart about the healing presence of Jesus. That'll only take me 5 minutes to speak that. But if his presence is here right now, my God, my God. As people come out, if I could have our helpers behind them, that'd be wonderful. I want you to really get angry at your sickness. Get desperate for God. Really believe he's just going to take this thing out of your bodies in Jesus' mighty name. Just lift your hands, dear ladies. Father, in Jesus' name, I curse these sicknesses now. And I command you to leave their bodies in Jesus' mighty name. Now, loose them. Let it go through their body. Right now, in Jesus' mighty name. I curse it. Now. You could take that anointing right there if you wanted to. Right now, Lord Jesus. We know it, Lord. We know it. We know it. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. In Jesus' mighty name. Be healed. Be healed. Now just expect to be healed. Just expect it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, if you fall, if you're under the power of God, stay there as long as you want to. You'll know when to get up because that nice feeling will start to just wane, just lift a little bit. You can get up now if you want, or you can stay there for the rest of the meeting. That's fine. Jesus. Jesus. Mighty Jesus. I just want to read you this story in this atmosphere, friends. It'll only increase, it won't lessen. The healing at the pool. In John 5, verse 1, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, there's a pool in which Aramaic it is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. And here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Can you imagine this? And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in a condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred." What used to happen at certain times during the week and during the month, an angel of the Lord would come down from heaven and just stir the water. And the water would start to move, and just like it, you know, like a lot of people, and just creating waves. And the first one in got healed. 20 could have jumped in, but the first one that touched that water got healed, and the other 19 weren't. And this is the way, it's a strange thing. That's the way God used to work in those days. He can do what he likes, I suppose. He's God. But the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed, you imagine the hunger and the desperation these guys had in their hearts for God. They believed even in that limited capacity, even in the days of Jesus when at the same time anybody who touched Jesus was being healed. Everyone he laid hands on was healed. Yet at the same time, there's still people who were just going to this pool of Bethesda that was stirred by an angel of the Lord. And as soon as the waters began to move, the first one in got healed. And he says, yes, I do want to get well, but I'm disabled. And so everybody, I've been disabled and crippled for 38 years. And so everybody who comes, they get in before me. And I'm not getting healed. And it's interesting that Jesus says to him, then Jesus said to him, well, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured and he picked up his mat and walked. And the day in which this took place was the Sabbath day. And so the Jews said to the man who was healed, typical traditional religious bigots, they didn't care about the man being healed. They cared that he was carrying his mat on the Sabbath day that was unholy. And so you're saying, oh, well, we carry on like that in church life today. Well, rules and regulations of why we can't do things and why God can't do them. That's why good old revival does. Gets Holy Ghost Drano and unblocks all the spiritual constipated Christians. That's what happens. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. How stupid. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. He doesn't even know who this man is. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk? And the man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away in the crowd that was there. You imagine it. He's desperate trying to get in the water, and he's probably there every day of his life just waiting for that angel of the Lord to stir that water, and somebody goes and jumps in and gets in before him. What faith and desperation this man had, because he kept on trying. Bible doesn't say how long, but I guarantee you, he year after year, week after week, day after day, he was there, just waiting for that angel of the Lord to stir. And I guarantee you, he was right near the pool, but some blighter always beat him in there. Somebody always got in there quicker. He's very frustrated, but he wanted his healing. And he doesn't even realize he's got the Son of the living God standing right before him. And we don't realize that we've got the Son of the living God standing right before us. Who said, I already died for your sins and your sicknesses 2,000 years ago on a cross. And he doesn't say to pray if it's his will. It is his will for you to be healed. You've just got to receive it. And people are saying, oh, I'll try this, I'll try that, or I'll give him Jesus a go. And he's saying, I've done all I can do. I died upon a cross for your sins. I died upon a cross for your sicknesses and diseases. All you've got to do is believe me and have faith and receive it, and you'll go your way whole. It's as simple as that. So why it's not happening is because we're all hoping, and we're not hoping is good. Hoping is a happy expectation, anticipation of good. Faith is a substance of knowing that it's going to be done. And faith is now. It's not a minute ago. It's not 2 seconds ago. It's not what I said 5 seconds ago. It's not what I just said right now. Because faith is now. Now, not then. Now it's now. It keeps moving forward in the present right now. So your faith 2 minutes ago means nothing. What I just said a second ago means nothing because it's now, not then, not it's now. Get it? Now that's faith. And if we're not getting the healing power of God flowing, we ain't moving in faith. We're moving in presumption. We're moving in a hope. Amen. Hope will not get the job done, but hope leads to faith. You need more than a happy anticipation of doing good or getting something from God. You've got to move from that into faith. And how does faith come? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. There's the evidence of things not seen. How do you get faith? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What does he give you when you're putting Jesus first and you're trusting him and you're believing for that faith to be ignited in your spirit for your healing and for your deliverance? You seek him, you seek him, you seek him till it happens. And faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Right, the word of Christ, the word of God. So nobody's got any excuses here. You might say, well, I've sat in plenty of these meetings, haven't had faith. Well, open your faith up now. So I'm going to have it tonight. Like faith is now. It doesn't matter if you had it now, which is just a second ago. Here we go. It really aggravates me because I can see it. Faith now. So it doesn't matter what you had last week or last, a minute ago actually, a second ago. I've got to get off this, I go nuts, you know. It's now. That's right. Now faith is. And faith can be imparted to you from the Word of God. It can be imparted to you through the gifts of the Spirit. It can be imparted to you through the laying on of hands. It can be imparted to you through worship. There's no excuse if it's not happening out there. Listen, many of you, night after night here when we have revival meetings, get hit with the joy of the Lord. You get drunk in the Lord. I'll get a bottle of water and I'll say, take a sip. And you do it by faith and you get drunk in the Holy Ghost. How crazy is that? Because why? You actually believe it's going to happen. If I said right now, the first 10 people out here, you're going to hit with the joy of the Lord that's going to lift every oppression off your life, 10 of you would run out here. I want 10 people out here now. I want the joy of the Lord. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's only 7 of you. What's the matter with you? Right. And you know full well, I want helpers behind them all. Now they're going to get drunk. They're going to get drunk in God. And they're going to get filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because they got faith for it, because we see it every week. Now listen to me. Listen to me for 1 second. Why can't you have the same faith to be healed of your deafness? Why can't you have the same expectation to be healed of your diabetes? Why can't you have your same faith to be healed of your blood disorder or your cancer? You've got it for joy. You've got it for drunkenness. Switch your faith on for healing as well. Lift your hands. Now, right now. Now, the only reason you receive is because you believe it. Start believing the same, exactly the same way for faith in healing, and we'll start to see it. 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 Is this going over your head or are you listening to me, folks? Wave to me if you understand what I'm talking about. You got the faith for this. Why can't you have the faith for healing? Why can't you have faith that if someone comes in a wheelchair to get them out? The same God touches you with joy, and the only reason he does it is because you're open and you got faith for it. But as we start to step out into the realms of glory in healing power and deliverance of devil's power, we will see it. The only reason this is happening because your faith's open to it. That's the only reason. It's not some special anointing on my life to make people laugh, although it happens all over the world. In the 90s, I used to see this all the time, but I'd see more people healed. And demons would cry out of people and be delivered instantly. And they nicknamed to be Caster Steve because so many demons were coming out of people. Well, as we believe God for those realms, it'll happen. They're all having a whale of a time here. Might say, what is this? Well, this is that. What is that? These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only the ninth hour of the day. But this is that what was promised by the Father. And in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. So if you dream dreams, you're old. Simple as that. Even upon my handmaidens. Women, you're in it as well. Whoopee for women. You'll prophesy. You'll move in signs and wonders and miracles. There'll be blood and fire and vapor of smoke. What's that? In the end times, in this revival, the blood of Jesus will be emphasized, the fire of the Holy Ghost, and the glory of God. It's not talking about literal. It's talking about spiritual, prophetic, what's going to happen. The blood of Christ, the fire of God, and the glory of God. All these things will happen before the great and glorious day of the Lord. We haven't got much time to go, friends, I'm telling you. There's nothing holding Jesus back. I don't care what your theology says. Probably one thing. Before the end shall come, before the end, the Bible says the gospel's got to be preached to all nations. And I believe there's still 17 to 20 nations that have never heard the gospel. But that could be done in a day with revival. Watch this. This is church. Well, what do I go to every Sunday? I don't know, but get the heck out of there. you're not seeing this, you're in a dead, boring church that probably sends you to hell. I don't know. You might say, you actually believe it. I do. This is church. Why? Because this is how the book of Acts started. Why? God's name doesn't have to change. Oh, no, brother. Church is walking in single file, sprinkling holy water on people, saying, yea, verily, thus saith the Lord, out of thy bowels shall yearn and flow rivers of living water. Yea. What a bunch of rubbish. Not yea, verily, just that concept. Poor, I tell you something. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I feel that evangelistic anointing tonight stronger than I've had it for a long time. Now, all you spectators out there, lift your hands. You can get it too, right where you are. Fill them with your glory and the Holy Ghost now in Jesus' name. Now, if you don't know how to laugh, it's very easy. Everyone repeat after me. Ho, ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha. He, he, he. You've got it. Just receive it. Some of you, God wants to get absolutely drunk. Well, drink on the new wine and get drunk. Keep letting him flow through you. Don't stop. I was born for these meetings. I love it. We're almost there. I've seen a lot wilder things than this. I've seen people start to supernaturally just somersault over seats. Three rows back, just jumping up and just like slow motion, just woo woo, and landing at the front and just rolling. I've seen people dancing in the spirit with their eyes closed, just jumping over bodies with their eyes closed, not touching anybody. But like Brian was doing the other week, you know, all that ballerina stuff. The only thing missing was his tutu. But I want the glory of God, brother. Well, this is a part of it. No, the glory of God is intense. Everyone talks about the fear of God. I've seen the fear of God come on my meetings. And I'm telling you what, fear is simply an awesome respect for God. Where you realize there is liberty in the Holy Ghost, but there's a consequence to sin. And you have to get this awesome respect for Him. It's not some tight thing where everyone's sitting there like they've been dipped in lemon juice, like wrinkled old prunes. It's not that at all. That's God. And if you're not letting God touch you like this, I feel sorry for you. Well, why doesn't He touch other people like this? This is happening all over the world, friends. You just don't hear about it because media doesn't want to televise this. This is happening pockets all over the world because it's the same Holy Ghost. This is not just a strange thing that's happening in Kingston. Everywhere I go on planet Earth, I went to a church last Sunday in Dryden, other side of Ithaca, same thing. Power of God. Now, some of these people just can't get up. Maybe some of them have been on bad weed. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. Well, whoopee. That's all I can say. Yeah. We should sing that song again soon, eh? And in the words of Fred, I don't know. See, he's touching people all over the building, right from the back to the front. Keep letting him touch you. You mean God wants me to have a good time in church? Of course he does. You might say, you can't build a move of God on this. This is the move of God. I've planted churches all over Australia exactly like this. When we plant in Newburgh, it'll be just like this. It'll be nothing different. Even our Sunday morning services will just be wild. Well, when are you going to teach and all that sort of thing? Well, we'll have discipleship schools for that sort of stuff. We've been preaching the word through the songs we've sung tonight. I've just preached for the last 20 minutes on this story. And by the way, God heals this man. And Jesus doesn't heal anybody else there. He walks past all the hundreds of people, says, what do you want me to do for you? What's wrong with you? He heals him. The man doesn't even know who healed him. The Pharisees, who's the one that healed you? Well, I don't know. Like Fred, I don't know. You know? And then there's this big debate going on where he's brought before the council. How do we know you're healed and who is this man? And can your parents verify this? Snotty-nosed people, I tell you. And in the end he says, listen, I don't know who healed me. All I know is, and there's another portion of the scripture says, hey, another guy says, all I know is once I was blind, but now I can see. This guy says, all I know is I was a cripple, now I can walk. Up your nose with a rubber hose, that's all there is to it. Then they bring the parents in. Oh, all we know is he's healed, all right. Our religion sucks, but it's not really that different today. Sometimes I drive past Methodist churches, I think, you know, God, sometimes I would just love to pastor a church where you just have a few fast songs, a couple of slow songs, give a nice talk, and everybody just loves on each other, has dinner and goes home. And then I wake up from that nightmare and realize it could never be.